Coda. As I indicated in the overture, much of this book was written during long months spent in hospitals. First, visiting or staying with my daughter, Michaela, then doing the same over a longer period with my wife, Tammy, and finally, when it became necessary, during my repeated admissions. I do not think it appropriate to write about those personal trials in any more detail than I already have in the overture. Partly because the common circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic have rendered everyone's life tragic in an unimaginable manner, so that it seems superfluous, in some sense, to provide a detailed account of familial or individual suffering on top of that, and partly because the current book is not about my daughter's troubles or my wife's or mine, directed as it is to topics of general psychological import. What I truly find necessary to relate, however, is our appreciation to all those many people who supported us during this trying time. So, some additional discussion of our various maladies appears unavoidable at this point. On the public front, we received an outpouring of good wishes from thousands of people who had become familiar with my work. Some of this was delivered in person, when people met Tammy or me in public. Some was sent by email and social media, and some of it came in YouTube comments on my videos. This was exceptionally heartening. My sister, Bonnie, gathered and printed out particularly thoughtful messages to Tammy from around the world and posted them in bright colors on the walls of the hospital room where they could be easily seen. The messages later addressed to me helped bolster my oft-wavering conviction that I could and should prevail in the face of the difficulties I was experiencing, and that the book you are reading or listening to would maintain its relevance, even in the face of the terrible pandemic that currently envelops the world. We were also the beneficiaries of medical care, much of it extreme, but most often provided with optimism, care, and competence. Tammy's dual cancer surgeries were courageously performed by Dr. Nathan Perlis of the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. When the complications arising thereof became too extreme, Tammy was further treated by Dr. Maxim Itkin, director of Philadelphia's Penn Center for Lymphatic Disorders. More privately, Tammy and I were individually and jointly the grateful beneficiaries of constant support from family and friends who interrupted their lives to spend days, weeks, or months of time with us while we were undergoing our trials. I can only hope, in the face of serious doubts about the matter, that I would have chosen to be as generous with my time and attention as they were if the tables were turned. It is particularly necessary to thank my family members, my daughter, Michaela Peterson, and her husband, Andrei Korokov, my son, Julian Peterson, and daughter-in-law, Jillian Vardy, my brother-in-law and sister, Jim and Bonnie Keller, my brother and sister-in-law, Joel and Kathleen Peterson, my parents, Beverly and Walter Peterson, my brother and sister-in-law, Dale and Maureen Roberts, and their daughter, Tasha, my sister-in-law, Della Roberts, and her husband, Daniel Grant, as well as our friends, Wayne Moretzky, Miriam Mongrain, Queenie Yu, Morgan and Ava Abbott, Wodick Schemberg and Estera Beckier, Will Cunningham and Shona Tritt, Jim Balsillie and Neve Perrick, Dr. Norman and Karen Deutsch, Greg and Dr. Delina Hurwitz, the former of whom also profoundly helped me edit and improve 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos, Dr. Corey and Nadine Torgerson, Sonia and Marshall Tully, Dr. Robert O. and Sandra Peel, Dr. Daniel Higgins and Dr. Ellis Lee, Dr. Mehmet and Lisa Oz, and Dr. Stephen and Dr. Nicole Blackwood, all of whom went above and beyond the call of duty in the attention they paid to Tammy and me over the last 2 years. There are, finally, three men of God who are of service, particularly to Tammy, Fathers Eric Nikolai, Fred Dolan, and Walter Hannum. My family made arrangements to have me treated in Moscow for the consequence of a paradoxical reaction and then a dependence on the hypothetically safe but truly dangerous benzodiazepine anti-anxiety medication. This was arranged with exceptional efficiency despite the time of the year, the Christmas and New Year holidays in 2019-20, by Kirill Sergeyevich Mikhailov, the Consul General of the Russian Federation in Toronto, and the consular staff who provided an urgent visa in a matter of days. Many people, including Kelly and Jill Kraft, Anish Dwivedi, Jamil Javani, Zach Lan, Chris Helverson, Metropolitan Jonah, the very Reverend Viktor Potapov, and Dmitry Ivanov, helped expedite what was a very complex, multidimensional process. While in Russia, my safety was ensured by Alexander Yusov, and my sense of isolation diminished by daily visits by Michaela and her husband Andrei, who truly cannot be thanked enough. The Russian medical teams included IMC Addiction by Roman Yuzapolsky, who agreed to supervise my case despite being advised by assorted experts that it was too dangerous to do so, and his staff members, Herman Stepnov, administrative director, and Alexander, therapist, who translated for me constantly for a two-week period without even a change of clothes. The team of the Russian Academy of Medical Sciences took me in with undiagnosed double pneumonia and in a state of catatonia and delirium and restored my ability to ambulate. Dr. Marina Petrova, the deputy director, and Dr. Michael, the head doctor of what was known as the reanimatology ward, were of particular and notable aid. Uliana Efros, nanny to my granddaughter, Elizabeth Scarlett, always had our backs and traveled with Michaela, Andre, and me for 8 months from Russia to Florida and Serbia, caring for Scarlett, including spending a month in quarantine. Thanks, as well, to Uli's daughter, Liza Romanova, who helped take care of Scarlett in Russia so that my daughter and son-in-law could visit me in the hospital. Finally, on the Russian end, I would like to thank Mikhail Avdiv, who helped us extensively with provision of medication and translation of medical information, both on very short notice. Later, in June 2020, I sought admission at the IM Clinic for Internal Medicine in Belgrade, an institution dedicated to benzodiazepine withdrawal, and fell directly under the competent and caring treatment provided by Dr. Igor Bulbuk and his staff. Dr. Bulbuk had flown to Russia previously to consult there while I was in a state of delirium, provided months of pro bono medical guidance, moved me to a more stable condition when I arrived in Serbia, and managed my care thereafter. The IM clinic was founded by Dr. Nikolai Vorobiev, and his staff were very patient without resentment, a difficult feat to manage in these days of COVID and the inevitable accompanying and sudden quarantines. There are also those who profoundly deserve credit, recognition, and gratitude on the professional front. Thank you to my agents, Molly Glick of Creative Artists Agency, as well as Sally Harding of Cook McDermott, Canada, and her colleagues Suzanne Brendreth and Hannah Ilnawari of Cook Agency International, Canada. Thank you to the editors and publishers of 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos, Penguin Random House Canada editor Craig Payette, who played a diligent and instrumental role in quality control and enhancement, former CEO Brad Martin, current CEO Kristen Cochrane, publisher of the Knopf Random House Canada Publishing Group, Anne Collins, vice president, associate publisher, and director of marketing strategy, Scott Sellers, Penguin Random House UK editor Laura Stickney and her colleague Penelope Vogler, and CEO Tom Weldon, and Penguin Random House International CEO Marcus Dole. Thanks to the editors and publishers of the current book, a group that includes the immediately aforementioned individuals, as well as additional Penguin Random House US personnel, including publisher of the Portfolio and Sentinel imprints Adrian Zackheim and editor Helen Healy. Finally, thank you to Professor Bruce Pardee and lawyer Jared Brown for their active support of my ideas during a time when doing so could be truly hazardous to one's professional reputation and security. The worldwide tour of 130 cities that Tammy and I undertook during the incubation period of this book, as well as its preliminary formulation, was organized with exceptional efficiency and good nature by Creative Artists Agency representatives Justin Edbrook, assisted by Daniel Smith, and Ari Levin, assisted by Colette Silver, as well as Live Nation's Andrew Levitt. The Australian and New Zealand tour benefited from the attention of Australian producer Tague Dainty's Brad Drummond, tour manager Simon Christian, and security man Scott Nicholson. Gunnlaugr Jonsson and his crew were exceptionally hospitable to Tammy and me, as well as to my mother and aunt who accompanied us, during the days we were in Iceland. John O'Connell served as primary tour manager and was extremely professional, great at problem solving, and consistently upbeat and supportive over the months of travel and organization. Dave Rubin of the Rubin Report traveled with us, introduced my lectures, and emceed the question and answer periods that followed, adding a necessary bit of levity to what might otherwise have been a too serious endeavor. Rob Greenwald of Rogers & Cohen helped ensure appropriate media coverage. Joe Rogan, Ben Shapiro, Douglas Murray, Gad Saad, and Steven Crowder extended their friendship and shared their extensive media presence. Zachary Lan was there many times as needed, and Jeff Sandifer opened up his extensive connection network. Bill Vardy, Dennis Thigpen, Duncan Mazels, and Melanie Paquette served as drivers for the tour leg in North America when we used motorhomes. Tammy and I would also like to thank designer Shelley Kirsch and the crew at SJOC Construction for completing the renovation of our house during those trying times with minimal supervision on our part. So much has happened in the past 3 years that I am sure I have missed key people, and for that, I sincerely apologize. Thanks is due, finally, to all of you who have read or listened to my books, Maps of Meaning, The Architecture of Belief, as well as the 212 Rules volumes, and or tuned into my YouTube videos and podcasts. I have been profoundly struck, as have the people close to me, by the exceptional loyalty and care you have demonstrated over the last half decade. May all of you reading or listening to this book wend your way successfully through these difficult times. I hope you are surrounded by people you love and who love you in turn. I hope that you can rise to the challenge presented by our current circumstances and that we all might have the good fortune to eventually turn our attention to rebuilding the world after the deluge.